kill, yes. And it was meant to destroy every last one of us.
Yes, sir.
Praise God, we are in a battle. We are in a battle. We are in a battle. Amen. Somebody say, well, what are some of the ways that Satan will do this? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, for example, amen, one of the strategies that he uses to, he'll appeal to the lust of the eyes. Oh, yeah, yeah. If a believer is weak in a certain area, Satan will see to it that something crosses his eyes, yeah. Her eyes. Praise God. And something that will be appealing to the flesh or to the pride of life. Praise God. It could be some delicious.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria,
amen.
Louisiana, 71302.
Amen.
They will be glad to hear from
it
you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact
person.
Them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Thus keep me near thy cross, there a prayer just mountain breathe to
Jesus, we come. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the songs of praise coming from our youth, and we thank you for our young people. We thank you for all who assemble here on this day. And now we ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst, and then grant us a fresh anointing of your power. And in that anointing, we ask that you grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. To our associates and the persons of Reverend Smith and Heard, and to all of our officers and members and visitors, if there be any, let me just say that God is good. And his mercy endures forever. On last Sunday, we started a series on God's blueprint for church membership. And as we go into our second lesson today, I want to call your attention to Romans chapter 12, verses. We're going to read some verses. Amen. We'll be coming from 1 through 13, but we're not going to read all those. Romans chapter 12. Amen. We're going to read verse 1 through 5, 9, and 13. Amen. And everybody got to say amen. Anybody need a little time? Amen. And it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Amen. Well, verse 6, and having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kind and affected to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Verse 13 say, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This morning, as we continue our series on the blueprint of church membership, our subject this morning is church membership. That's what we're talking about this morning. Now, let me begin by saying that on last time under this, in a blueprint is just simply a plan of action. We talked about water baptism, which is the first step of obedience after one have received Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives. Water baptism is an outward expression of an inward transaction. In other words, water baptism doesn't save us. Are you with me? It's a public confession of having received Christ as our Savior, as well as an identification and a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then it is one of the ordinances, and ordinance means required ceremonies of the Baptist church. Once you receive Christ, then you're required to make that first step of obedience, to be baptized. Amen. And so this morning, as we continue our series on God's blueprint for church membership, our subject this morning, as I've already said, will be church membership. But now, in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, in most cases, the opening verses of this chapter, we use these verses to challenge individual believers to a life of surrender. But to be fair to the context, we must observe that Paul is addressing the saints at Rome both personally as well as corporately. In other words, he's talking to them about, first of all, the basis of church membership. Here Paul is telling the saints at Rome, as well as us this morning, that in order to enjoy the harmony and ministry of a local church, there are certain fundamental requirements that must be obeyed. In verse 1, he said that he beseeched the saints at Rome and Christians throughout the century to present their bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord. Now, under the old covenant, God accepted the sacrifice of dead animals. But because of Christ's ultimate sacrifice, the Old Testament sacrifices are no longer have any effect. And so for those in Christ, the only acceptable worship is to offer ourselves completely to the Lord. We have to dedicate our bodies to the Lord. And here's a appeal for this cause for, according to verse 2, the transformation of our souls by God. He said, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now the word conform refers to assuming an outward expression that does not reflect what is really on the inside, a kind of masquerade or an act. But now the word world is better translated age, which refers to the systems of beliefs, values, are the spirit of the age at any time in this current world, meaning the sum of contemporary thinking and values forms the moral atmosphere of our world, and it is always dominated by Satan. For the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, God starts with the mind in order to affect the life. Now, there's a twofold thrust in this appeal. And first, there's the refusal of worldliness. Do not be conformed to this world. And then there is the renewal of holiness, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. When your mind is changed, your life will change. And now, the word transformed comes from the Greek word where we get the English word metamorphosis, which connotes a change in outward appearance. Now, the renewal of your mind, my brothers and sisters, that kind of transformation can only occur as the Holy Spirit changes our thinking through constant study and meditation on the Word of God. Now, the aim is that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, where there is true dedication of the bodies to God and the transformation of the souls by God, there follows the satisfaction of the Spirit in God. My brothers and sisters, there is no more satisfying place on the earth than the center of God's good and acceptable will. My brothers and sisters, the will of God is good because it's profitable. It's acceptable because it's pleasurable. It is perfect because it's purposeful, which brings us to the next movement in the text, and that is the beauty of our membership. Note Paul goes on to say in verse number 3, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, healthy self-esteem is important because some of us think too little of ourselves. And on the other hand, some of us we overestimate ourselves. But the key to an honest and accurate self-evaluation is knowing the basis of self-worth. And to know the basis of self-worth is to know our identity in Christ. My brothers and sisters, evaluating ourselves by worldly standards of success and achievements can cause one to think too much about their worth in the eyes of others and then miss their true value in the eyes of God. My brothers and sisters, just as parts of the body functions under the direction of the brain, so are Christians to work under the command and the authority of Jesus Christ. For the text says, for we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Here Paul warns of thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And he also warns against self-depreciation, which is implied when he says thinking soberly, which is the exercise of sound judgment that will lead believers to recognize that in ourselves we are nothing. For Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. My brothers and sisters, there is a redeemed and a released self that the Holy Spirit wants to use for the glory of God. This is Christian modesty. Once we recognize that God does not make duplicates, but only originals, Ghost, then we shall realize the purpose for which he has saved and separated us for his service and his glory. And that's why you don't have to try to be nobody else, because you can't. Are you with me? When God made you, he made an original.